Welcome to WeTel Talks. WeTel is a community for developers, and WeTel Talks is a live audio stream. This is a recorded episode from the live stream. We invite inspiring techies from all over the world to meet, host talks, and discuss the latest in tech. My name is Charlotte Holman, and I'm the founder of WeTel. In this episode, we meet Tucce Östiker, who's a senior developer and tech career mentor. We talk about what you can expect from your first developer job and what you should think about when choosing technologies and the company you're going to work for. All right, so today's talk, we have with us Tucce Östiker. You are a senior software engineer since many years back, and you are also today working as a tech career mentor. Mm-hmm. So great to have you here.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. I'm super excited for this talk today.
Yeah, so for us that don't know much about you, can you tell us a bit about your background?
Yeah, sure. I'm senior software engineer, and I'm specialized in .NET, Microsoft technology. I have been working as an IT professional 10 plus years in Sweden. And like you introduced me, I'm also coaching women in tech, because I'm one of them and I'm very passionate about what we women can achieve in technology. And at the same time, I actually transitioned my career as a tech entrepreneur. I'm trying to build my own business in technology, so I'm super excited to share my experience with everyone.
That's cool. And so today's topic is going to be how to kickstart your career in tech. And we actually did this talk last week, but the sound wasn't that good. So we know what we're going to talk about, and we have a great talk ahead. But can you tell us first a bit about your, when you are mentoring, is it for girls only, or is it men and women?
I'm prioritizing women, but of course I'm very open to mentor men as well, because we are unfortunately a minority in technology, and we as a woman, we are very good at hold ourselves back, and that's something that I really would like to support and see that we have a lot of potential in technology. And we are very needed, actually. So that is the message that I really would like to spread out. And also, like I said, it's because I'm one of women in technology. I'm no different. And I'm whatever I'm teaching, actually, it's coming from my personal experience. It's not something that I read it in the book. I'm just experience it by myself. And I would like to share it with other women so that they can see that this is possible. If I did it, so you can. So that's that's what I'm doing, actually, as a mentor.
Yeah, and that's great. We need more role models in tech.
Yeah.
So when you mentor people, what are the most common questions that you are asked?
I work with women with very different backgrounds. For example, I work with women who are in their last year of their study and they are about to kickstart their career. I work with women who has worked some years in technology but still have some clarity issues about what more is possible for me. And I also work with very senior developers. They have done a lot and they would like to change their role, and they would like to see like what else I can do with all those experiences in my backpack. So the first thing that I can really mention is the clarity. We have done a lot of things, or maybe you haven't done it yet and you would like to do, but the clarity is a bit challenging because technology is very broad. There are lots of things you can do. It's very exciting, but at the same time, maybe it's overwhelming as well. Which language, which role, which company, how should I work? Like as a consultant, as an employee? So there are lots of questions, and there is not just one answer who can fix all the like the questions. It's because it's your personal journey. So there is not just one recipe that I can give it to you and then you will be fine. It's a journey, actually. It's an experiment, I would say.
And do you have other advice for newcomers in tech?
Yeah, of course. So what I would like advise them is to really be conscious about what you would like to achieve in your career. And whatever you do on daily basis in your job, just feel like what are the things that makes you excited about. Because, I mean, when I was working as an employee for some years in different companies, I can't tell that all the assignments that I have done was very exciting. It was not. But the things that makes you excited about, there is something there that you can pull out and see if there is something that you can really raise it and continue in that path. And just see this as an experiment, because every day you learn something. Because when you work as a developer, no matter how experienced you are, you can come up with something that you have never seen it before and you just learn it. So that's why it's really important that you are very curious as a developer. Curiosity is really important in our job. And you are very open to learn because technology is evolving. The things that we used last month, maybe we don't use it anymore. And at the same time, you would like to really good at problem solving, because maybe we don't notice, but we solve problems actually for the business. They have challenges, maybe they are working too much manual work, and we as IT professionals, we would like to digitalize their daily work with the solutions that we will build for them. So problem solving is also something that is expected from a developer, but maybe it's not that visible, but we actually problem solvers, we are very good at doing it. So there are lots of things actually we do as a developer, but we didn't give that much attention. And when you work with a mentor, when you really would like to dive deep into this role, this industry, you feel that whatever you do on a daily basis, there are lots of things you do, but you don't notice that you have done that much. So that is what you get from this actually mentoring, that you will have the opportunity to see the same thing with a different perspective and different angles. So that's why I really recommend everyone to give that possibility to yourself and work on yourself and find someone who can really help you out.
Yeah, we talked to some cool girls last week, Bila. And one of them was the mentor of the year, I think. Yeah, when she talked about mentorship, I got personally so excited that I want a mentor.
Yeah.
Just to have someone that you look up to is really cool. And so how do you even find a mentor?
I mean, how do you find a mentor? For example, I was coached by different people. So I work on myself and I'm still doing it because it's a lifelong journey. But I have never worked with anyone who has a tech background. But everything I received from them, I'm totally grateful for all the wisdom and the knowledge that I receive. And the mentoring that I'm providing for person, the woman that like me, that the thing that is interesting is that because I have the same background that they had, and that's very interesting in my personal opinion, because in my case I couldn't find someone, and that's why I want to become one. Because when I was looking around someone who can really help me out with my next step in my career, I actually couldn't find anyone who can really have that passion, because I'm very passionate about this. I'm not just doing it because this is my job. I mean, I am not even haven't done this many years back, But I'm doing it because I have passion, because I feel that I have a message that people can utilize. That's why I'm doing monthly webinars to meet with people, to understand their needs and to explain where tech is heading, in my personal opinion. And I also explain my experiences in this field. And then they have opportunity, if whatever they hear during that hour interesting for them, and if they would like to explore more, because this is like an exploration, you know, you just explore yourself, because that's how I have started this journey by myself, just to know more about myself. Who am I as a person? Not like just forget about all the things I've done as a developer. Who am I? What more I can bring into the world. So that's how I started, and I'm still exploring, actually. So that's why it's really interesting to know, because that's what I'm telling, like, women. They also ask this question, like, if I work with you, what should I get as a result? Of course, you will get tangible results, like finding a different job or different promotion, or I get a raise. Those are very tangible results. But the important thing is you will get to know yourself better than you do before, because that's very, I think, important, that we also give the value and the attention that we deserve as a human. We sometimes forget about it, you know, especially when you work with technology, we give a lot of attention to the coding, to the company, if you work for a company or the business. But we forget about ourselves, like, where am I heading? Like, I have done that much. What is my next step? I don't know. You know?
That's a question that we all ask ourselves all the time.
Yes.
So what do I do if I want to, you know, take the next step, but I don't know what the next step is?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you need to explore, like, whatever you do, like, what are the things that makes you excited about? And if you knew that everything is possible, what would you do? Because we all have stereotypes in our minds, the things that we don't think that we can't, and that's because of different reasons. But if you knew that everything is possible, you just want to choose what you want to do. How do you see yourself as a person or as a developer? Because I always start as a human first, not the tech, because tech we will take it later, to just really get to know you as a person, what makes you excited about, what are your values, you know, because we as a human, we have very different values. And then how we can align it with technology. Because when I get to know you better, then I can understand that what could suit you better. Because if you start with the technology, then it's very limited space. Because you as a human, you have a very big potential that you don't aware. When we start from there, when we really explore you as a human, not what you have done, and then we just start to understand, like, what are the values that matters to you? What are the things makes you excited about? Well, how do you want to live the rest of your life as a person? And how we can make this alignment in technology? What are the opportunities for you? Like, you want to take the next ladder in a corporation, in a corporate job? Is this something that makes you excited about? Or maybe you have some kind of an idea. You have really point out a problem and you have a solution. Maybe it's better that you start your own business, or maybe you don't want to work 8 hours a day. Maybe you would like to have more freedom. Maybe freelancer or working as a consultant is something, because we really have different ways of seeing the life. Sometimes the tech stack is my passion, you know, like learning JavaScript or learning Angular is my passion, and someone else is completely different, is the industry, because maybe they have a story and they want to make a difference in that industry. And some other persons, it's like the role, like, I'm a developer, I want to be lead, I want to be an architect, and then I want to be the manager for the developers. and I would like to be in the on the corporate job. Maybe that is the something that. So we really need to figure out, but first we need to start with you, because I will give you the guidance and you will give me the answer, like, yes, that was the thing that I really passionate about and I really would like to see myself. For example, I have been working with a developer and she has like 3-4 years of experience. And when we start to build a career path for her, for like she has been working with me over a year. And then we really see that, like the architect role, and she started as a front-end developer, is very far away from like architect, and now she's working as a back-end developer. And now she would like to be an architect because she see that it's very interesting to see different parts of the system and building a system from an architect, as an architect in a higher role. Something that she thinks that it's very interesting for her to really see herself as an architect in coming future. And for someone it's completely different. So that's why I said in the beginning that there is not just one recipe that I can give you and then it will work for everyone. It really, that's why I really would like to have that one-to-one conversation. So that we will have this understanding of who you are in the core as a human and what makes you energized. Because when you feel that motivation, when you feel that passion, that drive, that spark, then it will go very faster. If you don't have that for whatever you are looking for, then it will take longer or maybe not possible. That's why we need to find that spark and then align it with technology at the same time.
That's cool. And do you think that you should start with choosing the technology? So you said start with the goal. But for me, for example, when I started 10 years ago, I was like, I want to be successful. I want to start my own business. But I didn't really dare to do it when I you know, was 23 years old. So is there like a first step that you can take? Like, what language do I choose that gives me at least the opportunity to become successful one day?
I mean, the language is also very interesting, you know, because in my personal experience, I learned Java in the university. And when I got my first job, it was C# and .NET. So it was a change. But of course, it's still very similar languages. But when you choose a language, I would always recommend you choose the one that you study in the school, if this is possible. Because I know that the language they are teaching in the school, they always have some kind of an understanding what languages are used in the industry. That's my assumption because that's how I studied. So choose the one that you feel comfortable with. Why I say this, because I really want you to feel that experience, like you have learned it and you study for some years and now you have a work experience. Because when you study in the school, it's very different when you really use the language in the industry, in the business. So when you start to experience that, when you experiment how does this feel, then you will have more options to choose. And when you, like, if you need to change the language, like, see, like, who is, like, the company that really provides this language, how big they are, like, how they can support you, how many people you can really learn this language further. Because there are some in the industry that they are used, like Node or JavaScript is something that has been in the industry for many years. And Microsoft is one of the leading companies when it comes to software. It's very unlikely that they will disappear. So, you know, those things are also important, that because you are gonna invest your time, your career. So just make it count that whatever you invested, you will get like the benefit of it. When even you will change it at some point, you still have the experience.
And how easy is it to change language if I choose something and then turns out that my dream job, they are using something completely different?
I mean, from my perspective, if you have work as a developer in any language and then you would like to change it for some reason, maybe change the job, or maybe you want to build something and you see that another framework will work, it really doesn't really matter, because you understanding the way of programming, you know how you can solve a problem, what kind of programming skills you have already built it with any language. And when you choose something else, of course it will take some time to get used to with the syntax and the development environment and the tools and so on. But it's not, I mean, impossible, or it's not something that you should consider, or it can, I can do it. Of course you can. You have already worked with, and you have this programming mind, like how you can build the system. The only thing you are going to do is just use the language in a different syntax if it is completely different syntax, different environment. But also just think about it, like, why should you change it? What will give it to you, you know? Because, I mean, for example, if you are like a JavaScript developer and you would like to change it to any other language, why should you do it? Is it really worth doing it? I don't mean that you shouldn't do it, but also think about it, like what kind of career you are going to pursue when you change that tech stack to something else. That is also... Because don't just change it because you get another job. So that's something that you need to like figure out, like, again, the clarity. What are you up to? Why are you doing this? You know, if you don't have the clarity, you just get a job and you just want to change your whole career to some, to another path. Just think about it. Why should you do it? Because that's a very good question, actually, because I had this question from a recruiter. She just gave me a position, and it was not .NET. It was another language that I don't recall now. And then I was just asking, like, okay, and asking myself, actually, if I really need to do this, you know. And even though the position sounds interesting, I see that in my path as a .NET developer, I see it, there are a lot of opportunities for me. I don't have to do it because there is always something, some other job that could be interesting. There is not just one language that you can find all the interesting jobs. There will always be some other job that has completely a different tech stack.
But which ones are the most common languages?
Yeah, the most common languages that I know is Node, JavaScript, and I know that C# and .NET, they are like used in enterprise level. In corporations, many corporations, especially in Stockholm, there are many big companies they are using. But when you go a little bit on the startup level, then it's Python also. Data scientists, I know they chose Python. It's high level language. It's easy to understand. So Angular, React on the front end, those are the most TypeScript. Those are the most interesting. And for the back end, it's Node. PHP still also has some market. It's not that big.
Feels like it's dying out.
Here's
some angry voices every time I mention PHP.
But I still see that people are still using PHP on the back end, but it's more like Node I can see now.
So JavaScript, we use JavaScript in Vital. I love that you can use it both back end and front end. So would you say that is JavaScript, is it the best language to learn if you want to be safe to get a job?
I don't dare to say that, but JavaScript is a very big market, I should say. And when you consider these two frameworks that are used widely in the world now, React and Angular, so JavaScript and TypeScript would be a good choice. But I would not dare to say if JavaScript is the best language. Maybe probably one of them, but yeah.
You're gonna have many enemies. But what are the exact differences between languages? Because I know there's a lot of people that are, you know, maybe they come from like a Java background or .NET, and they say, oh, JavaScript is not like a real language or something like that. But it has gotten more sort of like credibility these days, it feels like, with Node. But would you say that... Or what are the like the main differences? Because we have Googled, we don't have any major problems with JavaScript, but maybe you know any, you know, better languages.
I know, I mean, I don't know any better, but I am .NET developer, so what I can tell is, again, my personal experience that .NET developers, we don't like JavaScript. I'm sorry to say, but that's the truth.
Here it comes. I knew it.
And I know that Microsoft knew that too. That's why they have launched Blazor, where you can actually use a C# programming language in the front end, which was a dream for us, but now it's come true. But
why?
Yeah, but I mean, when I'm thinking from my perspective, like why I like .NET is because, you know, it's they always update. They are like always working on the framework, and that they are trying to improve it as much as they can. For example, when we developers think that, oh, this is some thing that we don't really like in C#, and we see that in the next version of .NET they have already fixed it, and we are just become really happy. So they really listen that the struggles that we have as a C# developer, and they are improving and working on it, both in .NET framework and also Visual Studio. They are improving. They have improved a lot. And they have a lot of big communities here in, I mean, especially in Stockholm, like people from Microsoft conferences, and you have a lot of people to really get support if you would like to build something in this framework and you need some guidance or inspiration. So you have always someone in the country that you are living in, or even abroad from the States. So it's like very big community that you belong to. And like I mentioned from the beginning, Microsoft is one of the leading companies, and it's very unlikely that they will disappear. So you see that there is always a demand for this language. And I know that Microsoft is striving for making C# languages like an English language for humans. So that's good, because when you choose a language, you only not think about if you can find a job today, but it's you need to consider how this language can support you when you need to maintain, when you scale up applications, when you have some kind of a performance issues, for example, if this language really help you out with that. And when you have people around you, when you feel that you are supported with a very big community from different countries, and with the conferences you can really meet with these people, then you feel confident about it. And the framework itself, I mean, it's very clean in my personal opinion. Like I mentioned, this is totally my opinion. It's very clean, it's very easy to read, it's very easy to structure your code, and everything is very structural in my opinion. So when you change it, you are looking for the way you work for many years. But I don't mean that this is not possible in JavaScript or in another framework. I work with React in .NET. So I have built an application with a team where the front end was pure TypeScript, but in the back end we run .NET C# code. So that is also possible.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I used to work with .NET developers. Can you only run it on PC? Or how was it?
What do you mean?
Can you use it for Mac as well?
Yeah, Visual Studio, yeah, you can run.
Oh, but you have to have a virtual machine on it, right?
No, but because .NET also introduced open source for .NET Core, where you can also like cross-platform, and you can build even mobile applications, you know. And actually, .NET is gonna introduce a very cool framework where you can build an application as a web, as a web or as a desktop, and then it will. You can use that application as a mobile without building in mobile.
Mm-hmm.
So that is coming. Right. But it feels like I'm like
coming from Microsoft. Yeah, do you work for Microsoft undercover?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So to move on to what other steps you can take to kickstart your career. Is it if you choose different fields, for example, like fintech, medtech, or something else? Is it some language that suits better with like some fields?
It really depends on the solution, I should say, because it's not about like the industry. If I'm thinking spontaneously right now. The solution, what kind of solution you would like to provide, because if it is gonna be a platform as a service, like an API solution, then it's like pure backend, and then it really doesn't matter how or which language you would like to build that API and then let people consume it. But if it is gonna SaaS application, let's say, a lot of users is going to use that application on a daily basis. It's very high performance demanding application. Then you really need to take care of the technology that you're going to choose for the front end so that it can really survive. So it really depends on the solution, because it could be very different. If it is going to be a mobile, for example, and then the technology would really support the mobile and the complexity as well. If it is very complex application, then you really need to understand that the language or the technology you choose can really support you, not only for the MVP or whatever you are gonna building, but in the long run. Because it's very different if you're gonna build a tech company as a CTO, because that was a big question. Like every CTO would like to choose the technology that they have worked before, but then there will be a time where you will not gonna touch the code. You have a team, and the question is like, when you're gonna recruit many people that you can recruit for the technology you have chosen, or is just like a small like you mentioned for the PHP, for example, if I choose PHP for the web application, would it be many people available for me to build my tech team? Or, yeah, so there are lots of different inputs and aspects you need to think about, and it really depends on the solution that you're gonna provide.
Yeah, and I think we talked about this the last time, that I have seen in so many teams that someone choose a very like fun but very specific language because they want to try it out, and then that person leaves the job for whatever reason, and no one knows the language, and they're like stuck with that language. So would you say that should be a bit careful when you choose language that not too obscure and
I mean, you really need to investigate like the support, the maintenance, and also the industry, like how many developers actually using this language, because you shouldn't only rely on one person or a couple of people. Because you always need to think that when we expand, when we scale this business, this application, and one we need to have a very big tech team. Can I really build this big team with the technology that we choose? Because they need to match, you know, the technology you have chosen would really need to meet with the people you are going to recruit as well. That's why it's really important that the supplier of this technology will also survive for some years so that they can support you with anything you need in the framework that you are using. And also there is a community that if you would like to scale the application with some complex feature, how should you do that? Sometimes you don't know, then you need to get some people around you that can really give you an advice on how you can build it. But for the MVP, yeah, I understand that. But when you have very limited time, you need to make a very like difficult decision sometimes. And an MVP is not the product; it's just a proof that whatever you have in your mind actually works. But you have an opportunity to change the technology after MVP. So it's not, because I think Twitter, they have also changed their front end many times, the technology they have used. So it's not like an end of life if you have built an MVP and then you get investment and then you feel that you need to change maybe the front end technology because it doesn't really support you. Then you can do that, but yeah. Mm.
Cool. And okay, I have some quick questions. So yeah. I'm going to pretend that I just became a developer and just want like a quick answer. Okay, if I want to become a freelancer, for example, mm-hmm. what do I do?
You would like to start your career as a freelancer.
Or my goal is to be free and be on a beach and code.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I would like to recommend you to get some experience working as an employee for some time to learn the business, how tech and business come together, because that is something would be really interesting for you to experience. So work for as an employee to learn. I think this is something that you can do just to be able to really understand what kind of needs business have and how you can really differentiate yourself as a freelancer, like on point, so that they will hire you, not they will ask the same work from their employees, because you should have some kind of a difference in a way so that they will hire you, because the chances are that they will probably have a dev team, so why should they hire you? To be able to understand like the way they work, what are the things they are looking for, what are the things maybe dev team missing, that could be you who could provide this, you know, as a freelancer. So to be able to learn those things, it would be good to work as an employee for some time just to learn and feel, and then create a portfolio and really show the things that you can really provide on point, like, because you can really adjust your portfolio according to what role you are applying for so that it will really suit their need. Because I know, since I'm coming from there, when they hire, or when we hired at the time when I was working there, we really need a very specific competence that we didn't have in our development team. Otherwise, we will not hire anyone. So you really need to pinpoint those things and learn. And then of course it's very possible, and there are lots of freelancers in Stockholm. There is also community for that. Actually, I was also part of that community where really they discuss about how they deal with the business part, because as a freelancer you have your own company and how you can get assignments, because every time you work for a company, you get a credit. They will be a reference for you next time you apply for another assignment. But to be able to get there, you really need to pinpoint the competences you are gonna support them. Mm.
Okay, and say that my goal is to become CTO.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do?
CTO in a startup? Or you want
yeah, or just any CTO.
Any CTO, like in a corporation, it will take time.
So that I just want to be a leader. Yeah.
Yeah, you want to be a leader in a corporation, right?
Yeah, let's pretend.
Yeah, let's pretend that way. Then you will like show me what are the skills that really give me the understanding that you can lead the team. And what is your passion? Why do you want to lead the team? Why a development team? Or do you want to lead the development team? So what are the things make you feel that you can lead a developer team? What kind of experience you have? Maybe you work as a developer for some time, but you figure out that actually developing job is not your thing. You want to, you need to tell me a story, because I really need to understand like what makes you feel that you can be a lead. Or maybe you have already worked as a leader for some time, then it will be much obvious for me that you were a leader for development team for many years. But if you haven't done that, it is still possible, of course you can do, then you need to really tell me that passion and the story that makes you feel, so that I can really relate that this person actually the one that can lead the team. So it's really matters of the how you pinpoint your competence when you look for a job, for example as a tech lead or as a manager or as a development team delivery manager that lots of roles, or as a freelancer. You really pinpoint why should you be a freelancer for this specific task. Like, do you have any experience on that? You have already worked on this specific task, or as a leader you have passion to develop very successful development teams that can be very that can build very successful IT systems. So I really need to understand what makes you feel like that. But of course it is possible as long as you feel the passion.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about myself. when I started, I was like, I want to be rich, I want to be famous, I want to be the boss, I want to be all these things. There was no real depth to my my goals, but you know, you can work yourself backwards.
Yeah, yeah. But like I said, this is an experiment, and you have already achieved many of the things that you mentioned, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, you know, the one who is motivated will always succeed in one way or another.
Yeah.
Great. I love this topic. I think it's so interesting with mentorships and career goals and how to achieve your goals. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really think also for women, like, aim high. Like, don't aim to be just middle manager or something. Aim to be like, you know, business leader. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Still gonna work 8 hours per day, so you can might as well, you know, be super successful. Okay, great. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah.
Great talk. And for the people that want to get in contact with you, do you have a like email you want to share or some other social media?
Yeah, my handle is Heartcentric Tech. So if they search for this on any social media, I'm sure they will find me. And just reach out to me, because I'm very passionate to meet different people in this industry and would like to share or get some advice or inspiration.
Cool. Yeah, thank you so much for coming. Thank it was great you. To have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, and good luck with your projects.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. WeTel Talks is created by WeTel, a coding community with thousands of developers. In our app, you can find your next career opportunity or join tech conversations. See you next time.